Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. This is a bit of a prologue, a little intro, because life comes at you fast in the NBA. I recorded part two of my preseason episode with Chris Madrigal of the Town Tailgate podcast, the Oakland A's podcast. And all of a sudden, since we recorded that, Draymond Green sprains his ankle. He's out maybe 3 to 6 weeks. And Drew Holiday gets traded from the Blazers to the Celtics. That trade was basically Drew Holiday to Boston, and the Celtics are sending Robert Williams III, Malcolm Brogdon, a 2024 first round pick that the Warriors, it was the Warriors pick before, and a 2029 first round pick to the Blazers. So this preface to this episode is largely because what Chris and I talked about a couple of days ago was stuff like whether or not the Warriors should try to trade a package of maybe CP3 and Kuminga or somebody else for Drew Holiday when he was for a split second on the Portland Trailblazers. So some of that chatter, but it's definitely still worth a listen because, you know, just talking about some of these pieces that the Warriors have and where they currently stand. We also talked about the roster, the Warriors roster, how it compares to last preseason and how we felt about the team last year and how we feel about it now. And also some early top of the NBA preseason rankings. Again, that's before the trade, the Drew Holiday trade to Boston, and before Draymond hurt his ankle. Some thoughts on those things that just came up. Draymond Green, this is kind of what I was worried about with the squad. You know, these guys are older, and whether or not they get hurt and how they make it through the whole season. Hey, it's early. I guess you could say it's great that he got this out of the way now, but we all know from watching Steph for 14 some odd years that ankles can linger. Draymond does not have an off season to get the ankle back in shape. I don't know how bad it is just yet, but it's one of those things that hopefully they sit him out long enough so that it heals as good as it can, because you don't want that thing to pop up and flare up or, you know, re-injured at the wrong time, like in April and March heading into the playoffs and all that stuff. So right now they're already in the mode of, okay, we have an injury to one of our key dudes. So it's not a devastating injury, but it's something that at his age and the position he plays and how critical he is, you just don't want to see that. But hey, you know, in the end, if they manage it well, it might just be one of those things that goes away. In the short term, you know, the Warriors, they are a little bit thin up front without him. Obviously, they signed Rudy Gay, who can play a bigger power forward, but he is older and he is new to the team. We'll see if that is somebody that Steve Kerr tries to work into the system a little bit faster, or if he actually gives minutes to, of course, my preference, Jonathan Kuminga, because I feel like that guy, when he steps up, when he's given an opportunity, he'll do, he always does pretty well. Last year, he did well filling in for Andrew Wiggins, but of course, Draymond and his role in the offense is different. But then, does this mean Chris Paul becomes a starter, right? Draymond is the guy who's out of the usual starting five. Is this a way for Steve Kerr and Chris Paul to kind of get him into that starting unit? It would be small depending on, you know, who else was in the lineup, but just one of those things that they would have to go and see. And, you know, the Warriors, their other bigs, they're relatively young, right? I mean, Kevon Looney, I'm not counting in that because he's their center and whatnot. But if you look at, I mean, Trayce Jackson-Davis, that dude's a four-year player at Indiana, but he's still a rookie. Will he get minutes? Will Kerr trust him? Track record says no, but I, you know, haven't seen. We have to see how this all goes in the preseason and in training camp. And then Usman Garuba, a great pickup, as we've talked about in the off season. But again, you know, he's a young dude and has not played 1 second in this Warriors offense or the Warriors defense. So some challenges right out the gate, but we'll see how it all plays out. I know there's a lot of folks kind of wringing their hands over the fact that the Warriors are so small, but as I've said on social media, in YouTube comments and stuff, I think, hey, Dunleavy's done all right so far, and far be it from me to, you know, panic at this stage. We all know that an NBA season is long. We all know that things happen. Guys get injured. Trades happen. Guys step up. Guys fall back. All that stuff. And that's why you play the games. I think sometimes there's this sense that the Warriors that we've seen during the heart of the dynasty, some people still want or expect to see this team be the clear-cut favorite, or else they're done, or else they suck, or else it's a waste. But I mean, first and foremost, like, this is why you watch the games. If the Warriors were a team that were intentionally tanking, then hey, you know, maybe that's not worth watching. But the Warriors, they are going for it, and they will definitely be up for criticism when things go badly. But, you know, let's see how this plays out. Plain and simple. That's how I kind of look at this thing. And I trust that adjustments will get made. And I trust that when they don't, Warriors fans, including you and myself and the regular media out there, they'll let them know. And then Drew Holiday, man, it's funny because after the Dame trade, I was like, well, I bet you the Celtics are regretting not having Marcus Smart there to guard Damian Lillard, because I don't think Derek White could do it. But now they have somebody better than Marcus Smart to guard Damian Lillard. They have the guy that Milwaukee used to have in Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday, that really, really helps the Celtics as starters. It makes them thinner in the bench. It makes them thinner up front. You know, Al Horford's older. He can still play, though. Porzingis, you know, he had a bounce back year, I suppose. And it's just one of those questions, like, do you trust him to make it through the playoffs? Do you trust him to make through the season injury-wise? And do you trust his toughness? Maybe. Maybe not. You know, he's older, more mature. Maybe he can fight his way through. So a lot remains to be seen, but that definitely puts the Celtics back up in the East. You know, after the Bucks got Dame, I was like, okay, yeah, they're the clear-cut favorites in the East. And I still think they are better because, you know, I trust Dame and I trust Giannis. I don't trust Jason Tatum, you know, like I don't see it. I've said that before, a great player, but I just don't see him being upper echelon kind of guy yet. He's young. He could get over that hump, prove it, whatever. But I think that with these two teams, you know, the Bucks and the Celtics, I'll go Bucks. And to be honest, you know, I guess this ain't a stretch, but like, if it ain't the Warriors who are going to win the title, or if the Warriors don't make the finals, the Bucks are my second team, right? That's the team I'm pulling for, because I don't want a team in the West to win again, and I don't want the Celtics to win. So I'm going Bucks if it ain't the Warriors. If it's Bucks and Warriors, of course, I'd be pulling for the Warriors at that point. But I'll be pulling for Giannis. I like that dude. And I'll also, of course, be pulling for Dame if the Warriors are already eliminated. And then the rest of this episode, I hope you enjoy it. It's a fun conversation to have. The second half of it with Chris from the Town Tailgate podcast. So check it out. Again, we do talk about whether or not it's worth trading CP and Jonathan Kuminga for Drew Holiday. Obviously, that is kind of old news, but it's a fun conversation just to talk about, you know, the value of who the Warriors have. So enjoy, and hopefully we'll see you after media day. All right. Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. I'm Patrick, and today my guest is from the same sports network, podcast network that I'm on, Fans First Sports Network. Chris Madrigal from the Town Tailgate podcast, which is a really, really good Oakland A's podcast. If you follow the A's, then you should definitely follow Chris and his show. Welcome, Chris.
What's up, man? I'm super pumped to be here. I'm super pumped for the season.
The Dame trade, right? Just to go to another team, or to talk about the Bucks. So they traded Dame. There's a bunch of dudes involved in this trade, right?
So here, actually, I got it. I can pull it up for you.
Read it.
I was talking about it in a group chat earlier today. The Bucks got Damian Lillard. The Portland Trail Blazers got Drew Holiday, DeAndre Ayton, Toumani Kamara. I don't know who that is. The Bucks 2029 first round pick and a pick swap in 2029. And then the Suns got Yusuf Nurkic, Nasir Little, Keon Johnson, and Grayson Allen.
Okay. So Dame going to Milwaukee. How does that make you feel?
They're the number one contender in the NBA now.
Where did you have them before?
I mean, I had them probably like second in the East, maybe behind. Behind the Celtics. But this definitely puts them first in the East. But like, I think that they're better than the Suns now. They have more depth than the Suns. The Suns got some players in here that kind of like help their depth a little bit, but the Suns are shallow, man, on the bench. It's those three guys and not much after that. The Lakers are interesting, and obviously the Nuggets, but I think this edges the Nuggets and puts them number one. Well, I don't know. What
puts
do you think?
The
do
Bucks
you still
number one?
Yeah, it puts the Bucks number one. What do you think?
First and foremost, I'm so glad that there's talent, top tier talent. I mean, going east, because my whole life, everybody comes west. And last season, Durant and Kyrie come west. It's like, come on. So now you're sending somebody east, and at least the top three, four teams have to really, really like duke it out a little bit harder to get to the finals. But I'd have to look at the Bucks roster. I haven't actually had a chance to look at their depth chart, but you know, they lose defense, but like, I mean, I can't wait to see this, right? It's like Dame, who's still in his late prime, and Giannis, if you're the Bucks, you got to do that trade. And I'm super excited to check that out. Obviously huge Dame fan, right? Oakland's finest. And I want to see him get to the finals. You know what I mean? But luckily for like us as Warriors fans, cool. We don't have to worry about them until the finals. If knock on wood, like we're fortunate enough to make it there. So enjoy that, Celtics. I know Celtics fans are really, really like, they really believe that they are that good, and they are good, but you know, let's see how Porzingis holds up and if they are going to regret getting rid of Marcus Smart, because Marcus Smart would have been a nice person to have to guard Dame in a playoff series, to be honest. But I'm glad he's no longer stuck in Portland. And it is what it is. I think Scoot Henderson is going to be a really fun player to watch. I think that dude's rookie of the year. And because he's going to have the green light. And I'm curious to see if he and Ayton get along, and if some of those other young dudes on the Blazers can come into their own a little bit. Did you hear, like, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a big Warriors fan. He's like, what's all this chatter about? Is this real chatter? But like, of the Warriors people trying to speak into existence a Chris Paul Kuminga trade for Drew Holiday. Is that, I haven't seen that. I haven't been on social media today. I haven't looked at any sports. I've been busy with other stuff, but like, is that real or is that just fan fiction?
That is real. The person who put that out in the ether was Chris Mannix. Chris Mannix is one of the most trustworthy like insiders that I follow in basketball. So when he puts it out there, it's real. I was with you. I saw it too. And I was like, this can't be real. And then I saw the source of it, and it came from Chris Mannix. He tweeted it this morning. And I was just like, wow, this is interesting. And I spent a lot of this podcast like praising Chris Paul and the Warriors, but man, would I love Drew Holiday? I'm not gonna lie, I would do that deal for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You would trade CP and Kuminga.
I love Drew Holiday. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Was Chris Mannix saying like this is what he's hearing, or this is like what, you know, he's imagining, like, you know what I mean? Like, where could Drew Holiday go?
I think I don't think he said like I think or I hear. I think he said was like I could see this happening type of thing. And like Chris Mannix is pretty like careful about putting things out there like that. So that's why I'm a little bit like, oh, like he comes on the Dan Patrick show every like once in a while. I'm sure he's going to come on tomorrow. I will be tuning in to find out if he does so he can elaborate more. But yeah, he threw that out there. So there's validity to it, in my opinion.
Whew, yeah. If Kuminga's involved, I would not. I love Drew Holiday too. I think he'd be a perfect fit. Mm-hmm. Another friend of mine, right after the trade came out, he's like, CP for Drew Holiday? Yeah, cool. Of course. Yeah, that 100%, 100 times over. But if you got to throw Kuminga in, I personally just, I couldn't do it. I couldn't pull the trigger on that. But then again, I'm the guy, as soon as Kuminga got drafted, I was like, this is going to be the best dude on the Warriors in 4 years.
So you're high on Kuminga. You're like all in on him.
Yeah, if he gets the playing time, you know, and I remember I was a little disappointed in him two summers ago, I guess, mm-hmm. 2022 summer league, because okay, it's like he didn't have the handle, he didn't have the point forward game locked down yet. But you know, I want to see how he develops, how he's used. We'll see. You know, a lot of it is opportunity, of course. I think he has the skills, but like, can he get in those game opportunities and earn Steve Kerr's trust with the ball in his hands doing stuff? And obviously, it's, you know, like anybody can bring up the ball in a Warriors offense, but can he make good decisions instead of just being like a drive and, drive and dive to the basket kind of guy?
Yeah.
Because I know he can do more than that, but that's where he shined his where he was at his best his rookie year, and where he ended up kind of leaning more into in his second year. So I personally wouldn't do it, but I cannot blame anybody if they were to do it. If it's Moody, then sure. Take Moody, take Pods, take whomever. Just leave me JK.
I feel like I don't know how to feel about Kuminga, because I see the flashes and I'm like, oh man, this is fun. But I feel like Warriors fans are like overly apologetic about Kuminga, where it's like, he makes so many mental mistakes, mostly on defense, but on both sides of the court, because he really puts them in a hole, and like teams will go on like 10-0 runs because of the mistakes that he makes sometimes. But like, some of the flashes are a lot of fun. And I will say, in defense of Kuminga, too many factors around him have changed since he's joined this team. Like, it feels like every year he's kind of, Steve Kerr has a role for him and they put him in that role. And then, you know, like something happens, injuries happen, his role has to change. So it's just like, he has to prove himself, but he doesn't get enough time to prove himself, you know? So it's just like, it's a long process. I get that he's like this athletic specimen and I just want to see him do interesting things, but his unreliability is why I'm easy to pull the trigger on that trade, where it's like Drew Holiday, like freaking Drew Holiday, dude. Like, that's about as reliable as it comes. And like, I think like Moody's been more reliable than Kuminga has, and Moody's in the same situation. It's been a lot of weird things like that, but I feel like Moody's been more reliable than Kuminga has in the past.
I mean, I think his reliability is only in the playoffs that we saw, because he barely played in the regular season. I know, like, I see Kuminga's flaws as well. And when I said he's going to be their best player in 4 years, that was based on the talent. And then also, like, then you fast forward a couple of years of playing time and development, and you know, he had a short leash. Like, why didn't Poole have a short leash? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Poole, like on like Andre Iguodala kind of said on the JJ Redick podcast, that with Poole, he's looking at like Clay, and it's like, why do they have a long leash, you know?
So
to me, I think defensively, you know, it's he needs to play, he needs to get better, 100%. Like, that's no doubt. My friend who was on the show a couple weeks ago, my friend Vubang, he was like, he hates on Wiseman, he hates on Kuminga and stuff. And I'm like, why do you hate those dudes? Why do you hate Kuminga so much? He's like, well, look who was drafted after him. I was like, well, first of all, it's not his fault, and he's really talented. And also, it's like, there's nobody drafted after him outside of Franz Wagner that I would want in his place right now, you know? So I think, you know, if you had taken any of those dudes drafted after Kuminga, then you put them in the situation. How much playing time would they have gotten on this Warriors team the last couple of years? Maybe Wagner's in the doghouse for a while. You know what I mean? Or maybe he shines with his passing and his ability to do a lot of things on the court and his IQ, whatever. But, as I said, I love Kuminga. I wouldn't do that trade, but I fully understand why you would and why somebody would. And that would put this Warriors team in an amazing spot for this season. I don't know what Drew Holiday's contract situation
is. He's got a player option next year for $37 million. So it would be next season too. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, it is what it is, but I will still like plant my flag on Kuminga Island. What are you looking for on media day in general? You know, it's just everybody takes pictures, everybody takes, like, you know, has like their fun questions, maybe some tough questions, besides like questions of whether or not Chris Paul will start and how it'll fit in, all this jazz. Is there anything to you that you're going to keep your eye out on?
I want to hear Steve Kerr give us more information on what Kuminga and Moody's roles are going to be in this team, in this off the bench this coming season, because again, like, where is the offense going to come from in the second unit? I want to know, and I want answers. And I think that it's going to be Kuminga and Moody are going to get the green light and let them do their thing, but I don't know. So, like, that's what I want to know. The starting lineup thing is not, that is what it is. That'll be figured out. It'll probably change midseason, if anything, because it always does. But I want to know where the offense is going to come from in the second unit. And I want to know what Moody and Kuminga's roles are going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. That's fair. That is 100% fair. I'm curious to see what he says. Although I have a feeling he'll just say kind of some canned stuff, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm okay. Like, I'm okay with seeing like how this rolls out. We'll see, because, you know, maybe mix and match,
because like the last couple of off seasons they've made moves to get scoring on the bench, but this year they didn't, except for Gallant or except for Saric, really. You know, so like, I just, the only thing I can think of is like, they thought they had it already in house, that's why they didn't make the moves, or they just got outbid by other teams, who knows. But yeah.
Or you just get two veteran players from the Pistons.
Yeah.
And it's like they say to they're gonna say to Moody and Kuminga, yeah, see these dudes, and then see Rudy Gay. Like, if you don't play well, they are gonna play.
Here's this guy. Yeah.
And you know, honestly, as much as I appreciate Gary Payton II and everybody loves him, I'm like, I hope he doesn't take a ton of time from Kuminga off the bench. You know, like, I don't know how you felt about Wiseman. Maybe because I just looked at him as a kid and I felt bad for the kid and some of the breaks he had along the way. I was like, I wanted to see what he could do if healthy, right?
I was the same way, yeah.
And like, as much as I love Gary Payton, I was like, oh man, I don't want to trade for a dude that's injured. You know, and then if Steph wants Peyton, and then we lose Wiseman, great. If having Peyton there prevents Kuminga from reaching his true self and gets him jettisoned, I will be also disappointed. You know what I mean? Like, it's again, I'm a Peyton fan, of course, but that would be kind of a shame. As this team kind of gets closer to the end, this core, do you think about that? Do you think about any kind of worries or like anxiety of seeing this team without Steph, without Clay, without Draymond, and just kind of, you know, this era that's lasted since, you know, started 2011, 2012 with those guys. Do you ever think about, you know, everybody talks about Last Dance type stuff. I don't think this is it. I didn't think last season was it either, unless you move Draymond. But do you ever sit there and be like, oh man, this is gonna be over soon?
I did until Steph Curry finished top three in MVP voting the past two seasons. Now I'm like, oh, okay. So Steph Curry is the Tom Brady of basketball. Got it. So he has a second prime that he's going to keep going and going, you know, like that was how it felt to me. And like, he kind of is having that career trajectory that Tom had. You know, Tom had those first three championships at the beginning of his career. And with those specific guys, you know, when Kevin Falk was his running back and he was thrown to Deion Branch and stuff like that. And then he had the second tier of his career, where it was Gronk and it was Wes Welker and stuff. And that's how it feels like with Steph. It was like Steph, Clay, Draymond, obviously, but like Andre, Sean Livingston, Zaza Pachulia. And then now is like this version of it. And like these new guys where it's, you know, Gary Payton the second, and it's Jordan Poole, but not anymore. It was Jordan Poole, and you know, like, and then Kuminga and Moody. So I just feel like he's defying the laws of athletes' careers, and like, mm-hmm. I just think that he's got like three more years left in this second extended prime, and then it's gonna go downhill, you know. I think a lot of like Bill Simmons always associates the Warriors kind of with the Spurs run. And I kind of feel like we're at like the 2011, like, or early 2010s era of the Spurs. So it's like, it's not over yet. There's a few years left and then it's going to start going downhill, and then they're not going to be competing for championships anymore. They'll be good, but they won't compete for championships anymore. But I still think that we're in like a prime. If does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, yeah. When I said after the 21 draft that Kuminga's going to be the best player in like 4 years, it was like, depending on how Steph ages. And I think I said at some point last season, I'm like, okay, maybe he'll be second best after Steph. In a couple years, but we'll see. But that being said, it's because Steph has proven to be he's aging well, and we knew he kind of would as long as he was healthy enough, right? Because his shot is never going to leave him. He's super well conditioned and he's smart, so, and he's never relied on crazy athleticism. So you, I always thought you, both he and Clay,
you brought up the Last Dance. Like, it's like the exact same thing that Jordan did. You know, when he couldn't get past the Pistons, it was because he was small and not strong enough. He needed to get stronger and needed to bulk up a little bit so he could handle the physicality of the Pistons. Steph did the exact same thing. The rules of the game changed, and like, he was just like, he wasn't strong enough. He wasn't tough enough to get through, you know, a lot of these screens and stuff like that. So what did he do? He went in the off season 2 years ago and he got like 10 pounds of muscle. He built 10 pounds of lean muscle that he could still run around and do. Like, that completely changed everything, dude. Like, that's what extended his prime.
Do you think this roster is better than the roster from last training camp? Do you feel like they're going in with a better team?
So you're saying, would you say my brain from last, like September, I felt confident, and then Draymond Green punched Jordan Poole in the face, and then I didn't feel confident anymore. So like, but in terms of roster construction, no, I liked last year's roster construction better, but chemistry and versatility, I like this roster more.
What did you like about last season's roster better? Because I'm actually surprised you said that.
I was high on Jordan Poole. I was high on Moody and Kuminga working well with Jordan Poole, because I felt like these guys kind of came up in the system together. They played, in the G League together. They kind of, I feel like they're just young and they had that chemistry, and then it was proven wrong because Jordan Poole was a ball hog. But like, it's just, you know, I don't say that as like a jab to Jordan Poole. It's just kind of like, it's just the style of play just kind of changed a little bit. Sure. And I felt like there was just like more depth. Even like Jamichael Green, I was like, oh, okay. Like he could be like a pretty like decent role player. Like, I don't even like, would you say like Saric is the Jamichael Green of this roster this year? Like, I just don't know like the second unit's roles, whereas like last year it was clearly defined, you know? So I'm a little confused and curious to see like how that's going to develop.
Yeah, I was really high on the team going into, I mean, they were coming off a title, right? And everything was like great.
That too,
yeah. I thought the young dudes were going to make a leap. But then you realize they didn't really play that much when it mattered. So that leap really wasn't there yet in terms of like game time, right? They may have like mentally felt more confident. But and then, yeah, the Draymond thing, I think, killed the season. I mean, that's the thing. I don't blame Wiseman. I don't blame Lako. I don't blame. I mean, that's it. That's it. You know, like they were bad on the road, weirdly bad on the road because they didn't like each other. You know, there were these groups. There was weird tension and whatnot. I'll be honest. I was like more excited about last year's team because of, again, coming off a title. And I love homegrown talent. Like that is what you live for as a sports fan. Unless you're a Lakers fan, you just like to buy talent. But like with this team, it's like, okay, this is just like the practical team to me, right? Let's get some old heads. Let's keep some young guys. Let's draft a relatively lower ceiling, 4-year college player. I'm not sure what I think about pods, to be honest, but I would have liked Keegan Murray's brother. But with this team, I'm like, okay, they're putting their briefcases together and going to work, and they're going to try to methodically figure this out and get a title. So I'm good with that. I'll always like feel the sting of last season, right? Like a lot of people say, oh, get over it, move past it, and yeah, you move past it. I'm not going to be talking about, you know, James Wiseman in like the third month of the season, unless something crazy happened with him. But as a fan, like you, and like, you know, you live and die with this stuff. You don't let this stuff go. It's always going to be like, you know, losing Gilbert Arenas because they couldn't sign him to a longer term contract or couldn't match a contract is always going to burn, you know, losing Chris Webber, etc. So I'm excited as I always am for an upcoming season, but it's like, well, those big swings didn't all work out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So on paper, knowing what we know about this team, where they want to go, they're probably more equipped and better than they were in hindsight, right? Than last season. Before we saw the season play out, like it was like, oh man, we're doing this, you know what I mean? We're going to go on this 20-year dynasty, you know? Let me ask you your preseason predictions for the season. Let me just, you know, don't have to go too deep into it, but like, where do you think the Warriors end up in this preseason episode?
Okay. I think that we are the third best team in the West. I think the two teams that were in the Western Conference Finals last year are better teams than we are. I don't think there's any question about that. I think Sacramento is looming, but I still would take us over Sacramento, because what Sacramento did this offseason is they just ran it back. And I've never seen that to be successful. Typically, you need to improve on your weaknesses, and they could have got a better small forward someone more reliable. Instead, they re-sign Harrison Barnes, which I get. He's like the leader of the team. Like, I respect that move, but like, Sacramento is the only team that I think could have jumped us. The Clippers are the Clippers, man. I can't get on that Clipper train. I just can't, you know, the Clippers are going to Clipper. You know, Minnesota, I think, is too young and inexperienced. So I think that they are the third best team in the West, and I'm pretty confident about that. I think they'll be the three seed. The Lakers, I think, I just think that they really killed free agency, and they got so much depth on their team. Like, they have guys for guys for guys. And the success of their team does weigh on Anthony Davis. Can he stay healthy? You know, more likely than not, it's going to be no, because the history of his career says no. But they have the depth to where I think they, even if he goes down, they'll still be competitive. And then, I mean, the Nuggets are just so freaking good. I mean, I think the Warriors are the third best team in the West.
Where do you rank them in the NBA, taking the East into account? I mean, basically, like, are they better than the Celtics, you think? Or are they better? You don't think they're better than the Bucks?
Not better than the Celtics, but not better than the Bucks. They're better. The Sixers are that other team right there. But God, do the Sixers have a lot of issues going on with that team, dude. So I'm more confident in the Warriors than in the Sixers. So, yeah, I mean, I would say five. You know, do you think the Knicks are better?
The Knicks are better than last year, or the Knicks are better than the Warriors? The
Warriors. I'm just trying to think of teams that like that are competitive in the East that are would be
no, the no,
Knicks,
no.
No. The Cavs, no.
The Heat, no.
The Heat, definitely no. The Heat are going to be way worse this season. They lost so many guys.
I said a couple weeks ago, I also put the Warriors in three behind Denver and the Lakers. I put the Suns up there with them. I do think that they're better after the trade, to be honest, right? Like,
the Suns are.
I'm glad they got rid of Ayton, because he gave the Warriors more problems than Nurkic ever did. But as a friend of mine pointed out, is like addition by subtraction. You want to get rid of Ayton's contract and his chemistry issues, and then you bring in a guy who's older, who doesn't care about being a star, knows his ceiling, knows his role, all that stuff. So you won't get any drama with that. But again, like I said, and like we all know, especially with some of these old head teams, it really depends on the health. I mean, the Clippers, come on, and not even close. I don't trust them to be healthy. And I do put, you know, I would have to look at the Warriors, or sorry, the Bucks roster. So I'm going to, not necessarily to cop out of that one, but I'm not exactly sure what the rotations are now, because they lost some depth. But you know, the Celtics are good. Tatum is good, Jaylen Brown is good, but this whole Tatum is that great? I just haven't seen it. I haven't seen him step up. He stepped up in some games in the playoffs, like I know that he dropped 50 at some point last season. But just the way he got worked in the Warriors finals, I haven't seen that dude yet. So I'll put the Warriors at like three or four. I think they're better than the Celtics, right?
The Celtics get all the hype. The Celtics lost Smart, who was the toughest guy on their team. They are soft, dude. Like, when the Celtics play the Warriors, like I would like to tell your listeners to like keep a close eye. Like, Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins, and Kevon Looney are gonna bully that team up and down the court. Like, you replaced Marcus Smart with Kristaps Porzingis, who like his big issue was that he's like a soft big. Like, I just in those intense playoff series, like, you need some guys who are going to bring the toughness, and I don't see anybody on their roster anymore who can do that.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. And so like, that's why I put the Warriors above the Celtics. So I'd put the Warriors, depending on how I feel about the Suns, I don't know, they're in a cluster from 4 or 5, you know, would throw the Bucks in there, you know, 4, 5, 6, you know.
I kind of have the Suns like right at our level, just like their lack of depth and I'm curious to see like how their three guys kind of work together too,
and,
you know.
And I put the Warriors like core guys above Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, who is younger but hasn't done anything yet, and Bradley Beal, who I've thought these last 3-4 years has been really overrated because
mm-hmm.
people would always toss his name out, especially during the year where the Warriors made they lost in the play-in round.
Mm-hmm.
Because earlier that season, I was like, oh, trade for Beal. He's leading the league in scoring. But it's like, he plays for a terrible team. He's never done anything with that team. And he was just the biggest name available, right? It wasn't like all of a sudden he was this all-time two guard. You know, he's a scorer. He's great, you know? But like, he's never done it. So I'd take the Warriors over that. You know, mm-hmm. I put the Warriors over the Suns. There, I figured out just now. I put the Warriors over the Suns just because of that, assuming, you know, reasonable health. And then I put the Bucks over the Suns. So for me, it's Denver. I guess I said Lakers, and then Bucks Warriors. I think that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but and also, whatever. Who's going to play defense? Who's going to play defense on the Suns? Like that's another big question. Like they can put up 130 points, but they're going to give up 130 points too, you know, like,
yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. That's exactly it. Let's see. Cool, man. I think that's all I got. You got any other final thoughts on this?
No, I mean, I want to say, you know, I'm very excited. Like again, I feel like I complained a little bit about some of the roster moves and stuff like that on this team in this episode. And I had my reservations on certain things, but like I am very excited for basketball season to start. I am, you know, I am such a negative sports fandom mode. I need a team who's going to be good and successful to root for. So, and I think the Warriors are going to be good this season. There are a lot of questions around, or a few questions I have for them, but you know, it's mostly I am excited to see what they can do and what Chris Paul, how he's going to fit with his team, especially because Draymond and Chris Paul have not liked each other throughout their career. So I want to see how that chemistry is going to go.
Yeah. They're both like, you know, Chris Paul, he's a banana boat guy, and Draymond wishes he was. So like, there you go.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
That's a great
way to put it. Yeah. Again, They're in their 30s. If they were like 10 years younger each, they'd still be trying to feel themselves and mm-hmm. exert certain things, and they'll still do that, but you know, not to the extent that they would have otherwise. Hopefully, some maturity. I gotta laugh at that every time because I just think of like maturity and Draymond and what he did last season. We'll see. It's going to be fun.
He's going to like help make these young guys like really learn, you know, in training camp. I think that he's going to do a lot for that. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, thank you, Chris, for coming on to the show. I'm going to have you on again if you want to come back. It was a fun conversation.
Absolutely.
And you can, again,
thanks for having
listen
me, man.
To. Yeah, for sure. You can listen to Chris on his podcast about the, as of now, the Oakland A's, the town tailgate podcast, at town tailgate, and his personal Twitter, Chris24K Magic. Memorize that. Okay. Memorize that, y'all. So thank you once again, man. And, let's see what happens on media day, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Sounds good.
All right. Well, that is another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Patrick E. Pino, or at Oakland Warriors. Check out our YouTube channel where you can watch this episode, youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Check us out at oaklandwarriors.com, and be sure to tell your fellow Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors podcast is produced by National Film Society. And if you're so inclined, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you want to leave us a nice review saying good stuff about the show on Apple Podcasts, that would be hugely, hugely appreciated, and it would be very, very helpful. Thanks. That's it.
Music in this episode provided by Paper Sun. Special thanks to Paul Amardo for production support. See you next time.